All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. I welcome all of you. Thank you for being here. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling to this simulcast conference call from Magalia, California. Thank you for being here. Tonight is the question and answer call, or you got questions, we got answers. It's going to be a special call, well, a special moment, because our dear beloved friend, Terry Brown, has her birthday today. So as soon as he comes on, I will let you know, and then I think we should go the old-fashioned way and sing the happy birthday song. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hello. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. More people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger. Thank you for being here. All right.
See the helicopter.
The wind is on its way. All right, yes, we are past the hour in the meantime, so let's forgive those who are in charge in Sedona due to Terry. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hi.
All right. Good to have you, Marilyn.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, this is Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. I welcome you. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, thank you.
All right. As soon as Terry joins in, we are going to sing. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Maybe Wynn took Terry out to dinner.
Maybe so. All right, here we go. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Terry.
Happy birthday
to you.
Anymore.
Oh, guys, thank you very much.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right. Thank you so much, Terry, for doing this service to all of us and to, you know, for the highest good of all. You are really outstanding, and I'm very glad what you have been sharing on Sunday and Monday. It's just beautiful. I feel blessed to have you in my life, Terry.
I agree. Oh. Thank you so much, Terry. Happy, happy birthday.
How many have you had?
Don't
count.
Don't count.
She's had
26.
No, I have the answer.
I like that.
Million.
26.
A million.
Over how many lifetimes?
Right, a million. That's also true.
Yeah, millions.
Now, wait a 26. Second. Why are you guys saying happy birthday to Terry before I got on the line? Huh?
You are too late.
I thought I was in control.
But you weren't supposed to be late.
Well,
that'll teach you.
Now, if I was the typical new agey person, I would say, if I was late, I must have been supposed to be. Okay,
all right.
Guys.
So we are being.
Wait. Are we recording now?
No, we're not.
Recording.
This conference is being recorded.
April 20th, 2016. Everybody everywhere. I mean, we're not even in Sedona. We are in Sedona, our bodies, but we are all over the place. And one, two, three, four.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
You should be a little more cheerful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys need to pick up the tempo. It's not a dirge.
Dirge.
We should have a Terry roast tonight, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, isn't a roast a good thing?
Not a no. mean.
I don't know. It depends on who's being roasted.
Let's roast Wynn.
Yeah, that'll be more fun.
That'll be next. Okay.
Yeah.
We have too many questions from people to roast Wynn tonight. Okay.
I'll be the roast master for that one.
Who's that? Chris?
No, it's not.
Hey, welcome, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm actually living in Nashville half the time. I'm watching a girl's place while she's away for a while.
Now, is it a girlfriend?
No, not really. We had a little bit of a past, but she's found a sugar daddy, so.
I see. Well, next time. And Jim isn't here, is he?
Is Jim here?
Is Mesa Jim here?
No, he has not announced himself, no.
All right. Well, I'll say something nice about Terry, okay? Terry is absolutely the most selfless person I have ever known. And she needed to be around me.
Maybe even your moose did.
I need to warn you of something. I have been inflicted with what was called Morgellons.
Oh,
wow. And it has progressed into something completely something that doctors do not know and a lot won't touch anymore. And I researched it, and one scientist has been tackling it head on, and he got part of the fibers under a microscope and saw that they blink different colors for different moods.
Now, wait a second. Who is that talking?
My name is John Paul. I'm from Texas.
John, listen, let me tell you, we don't normally have a discussion group before this call because
I'm terrified.
Too many people will get into it. What I want you to do is if you're trying to work out an issue for yourself, you have to send an email. I got to keep the procedure or else we'll never get anything done. So
I was just wanting to warn everybody.
Warn everybody about Morgellons, right?
We know about Morgellons.
It's no longer Morgellons. It's not.
What?
It's not.
Can you submit a question for tonight?
It's no longer Morgellons. They don't need the strands, the fungus. It's not cool. I'm not even older, and I'm not doing well. But everybody needs to be careful. I don't know how I contracted it, but maybe if y'all could do y'all thing and find out that y'all can protect yourselves. I'm a little too far gone, but
John, do me a favor. text I next week.
And I love you guys.
All right. Can you send me an email on it?
Yeah.
Send me an email. And, you know, I would say one of the things we're doing, and I recommend it to everybody, two things. First of all, we have a HEPA air filter, H-E-P-A, and we run it all the time, and it helps take particles out of the air. Second, we have an ozone machine, and we run that on and off into the air because it helps purify the air. And I can't remember, I've read about Morgellons, and I remember things that people have had work for it, but I don't know what they are right now. If you send me a question, I'll remind myself to look it up, okay? And thank you so much.
I had Morgellons 5 years ago, and then it changed.
But send me an email for next week, and I'll try to do some research on it. And
what? Tomorrow.
Let's all send John a bunch of love right now, because I can feel that he's suffering.
Yes.
And prayers. And John, we love you, and come back next week and say hello anytime, okay? And let me get on with the call tonight, all right? And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Great, thank you. So I sent the list out to our whole, the messages out to our whole group this evening. And so we have some new people. So thank you, all of the new people that ask questions. And this is a really unusual thing we do. And it's very transparent. And for those of you that have studied my story, which I recommend, we have, I made a connection through two women in my life, Terry being one of them, with a source that identified itself as the Elohim. And we've been talking to them for like 14 years. And it's evolved rather slowly. The Elohim say they created the universe. They don't. They say they're not God. They are, how would I say it? They're at a higher level, and they can help us. But they have the requirement that you have to ask. A lot of people that are listening to this call have had help. Not everyone gets help in the miraculous way they wish, but what was I going to say here? But some people do, and some people do it over time. And I was skeptical for years, but now I believe they are who they say they are. And they're actually going to answer questions live that you sent us. Now, who's making noise in the background? Is that you, Terry?
That's me.
Yeah, okay. So in any case, it's a rare opportunity to ask a question to this source. This is not like a psychic source. You'll hear how they answer questions. They're so masterful, and they're so caring, and they're so loving, and I don't think we're making a mistake on who we're talking to. And you can check us out. I tell people, don't believe any of this. Be as skeptical as you want, okay? And let me see here. I'm trying to see if I've missed any questions for this evening. People have sent. Oh, we got an email from Edna. I want to make a comment about Monday's call for those of you who are listening. I was really not being political. I was not telling people to vote for Hillary or to vote for Trump or to vote for anybody. The real purpose of that call was to know who you're voting for, know their patterns. I mean, to me, it's clear that Hillary has a background of stealing loads of money and maybe even murdering people. I would think so from all that I've read. And, or, you know, not her personally, but within the context of her and her husband. But you have to just look up Hillary Clinton death. Okay, just look it up and then read it and make your own decision. Donald Trump is definitely a narcissist. Definitely has got a case of foot and mouth disease. Definitely obstinate. And also probably a very good negotiator, you know. So given all things considered, you can decide who to vote for. But that is my intent, that in talking about this stuff, that things aren't the way they seem. There's a lot more. There's some, you know, we tend to dismiss certain things as conspiracy theories when they're actually true. But when it gets too far out, we don't want to, we're trained, and I believe we're trained, to we're trained, somebody's calling me, we are trained to not think of it as being true and to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory. But just calling it a conspiracy theory doesn't mean it's a theory. And if you do enough research, you'll hit pay dirt and you'll figure out what's true and what isn't. Okay, now let me see. Did we have any more questions for tonight that I didn't get in the queue? Just one moment. Jerry, you don't want to hear people say you don't want to hear people say nice things about you, do you?
At a roast, they're supposed to roast you.
Here's an email from Bonnie Sue Penners. Thank you. I opened my email to send Terry birthday wishes, and you just made it that much simpler. Love you, Leslie. See you tonight, Bonnie. Okay.
Thank you for all your wishes. I've been getting a lot of emails, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and particularly thank you for all of you that send money. And there's still a chance, because gratitude from Terry holds weight. Okay. I mean, you don't have to send money to get gratitude from her, but,
have to send money to get gratitude.
Sending an email, just puts you in her attention line, which is good, because she's magic. And, why is everybody calling me while this call's going on? I'm not answering the phone. All right.
Well, who's calling you? Do you know?
Raven called me. Jim called me.
Jim called me, too. Are they having trouble with the number?
No, he probably wants to play the piano.
No.
I don't know.
Should I call Jim back?
No. Let's... Oh, Here's a great question from Rick in Iowa City. Rick, I am so glad you thought to ask this question, and I'm definitely going to ask it tonight, okay? Let's get right to work, because we're already 19 minutes in, And there's people that are waiting for the answers to their questions. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we invoke a protected energy that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And here's a question from Tad in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Give us a moment to say hello to everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Each and every person on the line, we greet you personally. We are non-linear, and we can greet everyone at the same time personally. And it is our joy to make this connection. Go ahead and read your questions.
Thank you. Thank you for interrupting. Okay, that was... Terry, are you getting more bold because Terry's getting more bold? I mean, you're always bold, but... no comment. No comment, right? Okay. All right.
No.
Thank you. Inappropriate question. The right question here is from Tad. And a picture I saw this week made me think about how we spit our energies to the universe. I had always sent my distortions to you in a clockwise rotation. But this picture made me think about whether I should be sending it counterclockwise. Is there any difference between spinning our right love in one direction or the other? Thank you, Tad. Tad, I'm just going to, we have some experience with this. And that is, according to our information, spinning, if you use that technique, let me just explain, the technique has to do with spinning your energy field as a way of getting it into higher dimensions. I never do that, and I just don't even want to decide if I'm doing it right or wrong. We just invoke it, and it comes in. And but we've had questions about this in the past, and according to our sources and a couple other sources that I cross-referenced with, clockwise is the right way. Counterclockwise can get you into negative sources or negative, get harvested in a lower energy field. That's what we got. So on that, I'll turn it over to our sources and get the current answer.
Thank you. When one is building their own energies in their own body in healing, clockwise is a reaffirming way to help the chakras to provide the energy for healing. When one is sort of in a way unwinding or as the Sufi spinners spin counterclockwise, it is an unwinding of their own aura to move it more to connection with the higher sources. thumb chakra spin in a clockwise direction. However, when there is healing going on, sometimes the unwind going counterclockwise. Sometimes when a woman has her period, the chakras, some of them may tend to go counterclockwise. So it is depending upon what it is that you're wishing to do. If you, instead of spinning, make a comb, and in your mind, make a comb with you at the point of the comb, and then the cone moving upwards, then it is like a funnel moving what you wish to send. If it's negativity, say, to the higher realms for transmutation, you can put it in this cone and it directs it. You can direct energy through cones, vortexes. They can start at a point and move outward, or you can start with a base of a cone and then to project the energy to a point. If, for instance, you are bothered by insects, say, in your house and you wish to send them away, you can use this cone to put protection around your house with the command that they are not welcome. We hope that helps them.
Can you use that same projection to help get rid of negative entities or entities?
Yes, the trouble with negative entities is when one does not realize that one is sharing space with them and does not look at them as being within their own boundaries and allow the boundaries of the negative energy to take over some of your space and share space with you. Therefore, it is a little hard to control in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. When we're doing our Sunday grid healing, would we do a better job if we visualized cones, or is it just a different job, different way of connecting to the same thing?
Each thing that you are doing has its own purpose. When you are doing the ring of fire, it is a good state to back off, to overlook from the earth, from the sky, over the whole ring, and then to see the energy circulating around the ring of fire. And it is in the looking of and ingesting, say, of the whole, that one can, dissolve negative energy. When one is able to look at it from the larger point and to encompass the whole thing, then one can have more control over the diminishing of the effect of a vortex.
Thank you. You know what? Let's take 1 minute and let's do it. Can we do a cone right now and have you guys be at the top of it? Imagine that.
We are doing it as we were speaking to be over the Pacific, to picture the energy circulating around the ring of fire, and to put a drag on it, to allow it time to absorb so that it does not put such pressure upon parts of the ring. We were telling you some of the things in the way we work. It is easy for us to encompass the whole ring of fire at one time. However, for an individual, within their own physical body, focused in their own physical body, it is very hard to imagine.
I've noticed on our Sunday calls that I have been able to imagine more and more as the calls have proceeded. Like, I can imagine, I can feel the energy just surrounding the entire planet, okay? And but I couldn't do that at first.
As one gets the experience, then they can move into it more and more. Another thing one may have trouble with in doing it is that they go exterior to their own physicalness, and then when they move back to their own physicalness, the pressure against the physical can give them a headache or a problem. So one can learn to move in and out and let it go very, very fast. So one doesn't hold the position of the large as one moves into the small.
Thank you. Okay, next question. Thank you. Thank you, Robert, for a really good question. Inspired a really good string there. Rick in Iowa City. I don't mean this to be a silly question, but at some point somebody has got to ask it. Why does the male human body have nipples?
Give us a moment. It was part of the development of the body, as the development goes through stages that are, the word might be embryonic, and the development of the structure goes through stages so that the mammary glands in the female, as the hormones kick in, develop. As the male hormones kick in, they do not develop. It was part of the way the body, the human body, was developed. It gives a softness to the ability to achieve a softness and a nurturing and understanding to the male, even though it is not developed as a breast.
Thank you. Was there any time when bodies were first developed that they tried to make a more similar body for men and women, and that just ended up in the mix?
It was part of the function of the body parts, and it was part of the development that the body goes through, because there was a stage where it could be male or female, and it is part of the way that the body was developed and was deemed the best. It makes more of a common ground between the male and the female. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question here. This is from Edna. Long time ago, there was this group that our sources called the Children of the Law of One. Now, that was also the name that Edgar Casey used to refer to a group in Atlantis that I believe that Edgar Casey never said Ra, but the Law of One is the Ra group's theme. So if it was the Children of the Law of One, I would say there was a group in Atlantis that was called that, according to Edgar Casey. Edna thinks she was part of this group. And she asks, where and when did this group exist? Was this team Elohim souls? What did the group do?
Thank you. It was the philosophy of a certain group, and they tended to be service to others rather than service to self. And it was knowledge that had been passed down from earlier times that the people taught from lifetime to lifetime to their own group. There tended to be a lot of animosity between the Law of One group and the Baal group. And the Law of One people were, their beliefs were left distorted. And they were within the group of Atlantis, but they date way back before Atlantis, as it is a truth that is brought through in many cultures.
Would the people in that group end up in our group, potentially? Are we having a similar vibration?
The people in that group have gone their each own ways. There are people from that group, however, in our group.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. This is from Bonnie in Corona. And she asks, what is karmic debt and how is it incurred? How is it released? It's just part of the reasons why we get stuck on our cycles.
It is definitely part of the reasons why the humans get stuck in their cycles. As if you do it to one, so is there a deficit of that being done? So when one receives an injustice, one tends to want revenge, and yet if they do that to another, it then incurs that then can be paid back. If you do an injustice to another, you create a distortion in that person's space where they want to do it back, or it may be payback for something that they brought in upon themselves from an earlier time. These things reverberate back and forth. It could be that one has done an injustice to one and then as time has gone by, as they have done this injustice, then they're kind of like expecting retaliation. And as they expect retaliation, they create within their own idea vortex the idea of it coming back to them. And they send that out to the universe. And the universe gets it and says, oh, this is what the vortex is expecting. And it tends to pull it into their own vortex and make it happen to them.
Thank you. You know, somebody has a habit of doing that. When they do positive good works, does that help build light units that help release the patterns?
Yes, it does. As they do positive good works, and if they forgive themselves and forgive others, then they can release the frozen energies that are stuck in their own matrix and get their energy flowing again.
Okay. Robert Ransom asked a question about which is the positive and negative spinning. It's like if you're looking through your eyes in front of you, clockwise would be going clockwise. But if you were looking somebody was looking at you, clockwise would be the opposite direction, okay? So I just wanted a clarification. When you're doing clockwise, which one should it be, from the place of you going outwards or somebody looking at you?
From your own viewpoint.
From your own viewpoint. Okay. Thank you. Robert, we should get to your questions tonight. And we got a beautiful email from John, who just wanted to touch on, he's been a long-time listener. I want to personally thank you for your messages. I've been taking care of people who are in their last stages of life, and I really appreciate your time and insights. It lifts my spirits and makes my day to know you've chosen to be here on the planet at this time. Best wishes for your health and happiness. There we go, Terry. Somebody else loves you. I shouldn't break. Wait a second. Excuse me. I shouldn't break.
We are the Elohim here. Terry hears through the body. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you for the email, John. Anna in Lake Balboa, California. For about 2 years, I've had this orb floating around my face and going everywhere I go. It's very distracting since it stays on the side of my face, but when I try to see it directly, it hides. Sometimes it just floats in front of my face and lets me see it directly. I feel that it's a negative energy that interferes with my efforts of succeeding financially. Finally, I had Fred get rid of it and went away, but 2 days later, I got another one, which Fred also got rid of. Fred said he was told these energies get attracted to me and get access through my energy work. I suppose it means my grid healing and sending the light to several places and people every morning. The bottom line is I got another orb. It seems every time I meditate, I get a different one. They all look black in the middle with a yellowish aura, but their behavior is different. Fred said I should clear myself out after the end of meditation. I used the light invocation before my session, and I thought that was enough. My question is, how do I clear myself at this end? And why am I a magnet for these energies? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. The question is an answer within itself, that you are attracting them. And you are worried about attracting them, and you are afraid of attracting them. This is all an attraction for them. So it's not a physical matter of clearing and all that. It's going to your basic fear of attracting them, or the fear of attracting negative energy. If you forbid it, if you don't even worry about it coming in because you have forbidden it in your space, and then you start thinking about it. Because when you think about it, it creates that energy, and then it matches that energy and says, well, you know, there's that energy. I guess I better go take a look. So it is a step beyond where you are clearing now. It's to eliminate it, forbid it. Not only for you to forbid it, but your lower self, your cells, your body, every part of you that may be worried about it coming in, you need to, as a whole, forbid it. Send it away.
Can one think of a cone and surround himself with it and keep things like that from getting through the cone?
Yes. If one is thinking about it, is worried about it, they're making a call. Right there, they are making an energy call, which they are at the sending part of it, and it is extending out into the surroundings, and the surroundings are saying, oh, let's go in that call. So, rather than being afraid of attracting it, put sending it away into your
mind. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I just want to mention that Anna said she had been working with Fred, and Fred has been doing really miracles and at a very, very reasonable price for what he does, for clearing the energies of people's homes, their physical bodies, their neighborhoods. He's really amazing. And Fred, if anyone is interested, just send me an email. Put Fred in the subject line, and I'll send you to his website. We've referred Fred to a lot of people. We've and almost everyone has had great results from his work. Also, we've referred Ed Spina, and people have had great results from his work. These are two people that know how to project energy in the physical realm from one place to another and clear the space. That's the way to describe it, okay? Let's see. From Deb in Lapine, Oregon. If those supporting the light had one focus of heaven on earth and no picture of what that was supposed to look like, would there be enough people to shift this planet instantly? Or do we have to go through... Wait a second. Why do we have an echo? Hang on. Thank you. Hi. Would there be enough people to shift this planet instantly, or do we have to go through whatever is going to be happening? I find that on the light side, many have different ideas of what is coming. I find that the fear-based stories, the darkest of the dark, have put out in the world, most people are attracted to and believe that is coming. Can we control more of the outcome if we focus more positively on the change? And probably a question I would add is, what percentage of us have to be focusing on the change to change the outcome?
Thank you. You are part of a whole. You are part of an earth matrix. You are part of an energy matrix of the whole planet. And you, many people tend to forget that they are part of the soul. They are part of the earth. They are living on the Earth. The Earth has its own energies, its own problems, and the people tend to not look at the Earth as being part of everything and that they are in control of the Earth. Instead of being a joint caretaker, a joint partner with Earth, they tend to feel that they are in control and better, and that in leaving the Earth out of the equation, it is giving wrong conclusions. If the individuals partner up, have some care and concern over all of the other aspects of Earth, the species, the birds, the oceans, the wind systems, they forget that the rocks have consciousness, that the Earth has consciousness, and if they individuals could partner up and care, then that would be a big step forward.
Thank you. When people partner up, they have more energy, right?
Yes, when you forget a greater part of the whole, you have missing pieces.
Thank you. Next question. Steve, thank you for your comment. Steve said, you're exactly correct about Hillary. Yes. Trump is a narcissist, yes, and a blowhard. But on balance, I'm voting for Trump rather than the person I believe is the most evil person in political office in my lifetime. Look her up, guys. Look her up. Just look her up. Getting to the next question. John Suborowski wants me to ask this question. He's been asking me for weeks. Except, let's see. In a previous channeling a long time ago with Daphne, she said that 58% of the world population is still quite asleep. This was about 15 years ago. Now, I'm not going to say that's true. I'm not going to say that number is true. That's just what came through. And I'm not sure you're going to want to answer John's questions. But he says, could you please tell me what percentage of the population is still asleep? What percentage of the population are aware of the conspiracies? And what percentage of the people are awake? And what percent of the populations are spiritually awake? And I've been avoiding that because I didn't think it was quite appropriate. But maybe you can say something that will help John out.
Thank you, Don. There are degrees of awareness. And as masters have found out, the growth, the knowledge, the enlightenment keeps on going. There is more to know. So what is enlightenment? It can be all different kinds of stages. The drunk getting up in the morning is aware that it's a difficult day. So the philosopher getting up in the morning may have a large range of wisdoms that he are available to him. How many people are aware of the higher realms? And what is awareness anyway? It is a gradient skill of waking up more and more. We would not like to answer this question because it doesn't feel like it can be answered.
Thank you. And that is why I didn't ask it, okay? On that note, well, we're about to finish out. If you asked the question, please ask it again next week if we didn't get to it. And do you have any final words for us?
We are profoundly thankful for each of you. Mm-hmm. And we send each of you a burst of love energy. And it is a sacred moment for us in time when we can so connect, and we thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for trusting us with this responsibility of bringing you in. And I thank everyone on the call. I thank Terry. And again, I wish her a happy birthday. And we'll see you again on Sunday.
All callers are unmuted.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Winnie and Cherry.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, everybody.
Many
feel better, John.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Love to all. Good night.
Love to all.
Thank you.
Good night from Memphis.
Good night.